A Visit from St. Nicholas. That's the famous poem written by Clement Clark Moore. 'Twas the night before Christmas. That's the very famous first line. And the plural of that is the December offering at the Covedale Center for the Performing Arts, The Nights Before Christmas. It's an original holiday musical with a score from Steve Goers and words from Tim Perino. Perino is the show's director, who is here with one of the actors, Sarah Viola. Thank you both for being with us.
Thanks, Frank. Good to see you.
Okay, so let's start with what the show is not about. This is not a dramatization of the poem. That means there's no reindeer, no Santa, no gravity-defying sled. It's all about Clement Clark Moore. He wrote the poem published in 1823. So who is this guy anyway?
Well, that's, I think, the beauty of the play is I don't know that people know what an amazing man or amazing life he led. Sarah plays his wife, Catherine Elizabeth Moore. He was deeply devoted to her. It was a great romance. At the same time, she died young, and he mourned her in many ways. At the same time, he had a whole bunch of kids with her, and he was also involved with many great adventures in New York City at the time. Everything from the fact that he rediscovered a fellow named Lorenzo de Ponte, who actually wrote the libretti for a number of Mozart operas. So he became a family friend and part of the story. And the big fact of this play is about the controversy. People claimed he was not the author, and indeed he did not claim authorship for 22 years. And that literary controversy is part and parcel to the show as well.
Okay, so what's up with that? I mean, we're talking 20-plus years. Why did he wait so long to, own up to it?
Well, you know, do you want history or do you want our idea of what happens?
Well, just give us a short version of both. Okay.
Maybe the fact is that he never considered it to be a public thing. And that's kind of part of what we say as well. It was a private and pretty and beautiful thing for the wife he absolutely adored and his children, who he was very much involved with. And he never intended it to be out in the world. And in some ways, it was an invasion for him. Something that was sort of taken from him, thieved from him. And that's why he reacted the way he did, trying to hold it to himself. And it became bigger and bigger and bigger and literally was being published across the entire English-speaking world without his consent. And eventually he took authorship in both history and in my mind because in the end it became the gift of the world instead of just the gift to his family.
Okay, so we're talking about this guy, Clement Clark Moore. Let's talk about his wife, and that's who Sarah Viola will be playing, right?
That would be me, yes.
So, why is she in this play?
Well, I would say that Clement definitely is the head of the household, but Catherine is the heart of the household. So where he is very learned, he can be a little bit stern, kind of with his nose in a book. She brings him back to earth. He can also be a little bit absent-minded too, and really grounds him and keeps the warmth in the household. They do have a lot of love for each other, but like many wives do, we do help make our other halves whole.
Okay, so what does she do in this musical?
A lot of singing, I will say that.
Yeah, it's a musical, that's true.
Basically, we establish the relationship between Clement and Catherine at the beginning of the play, and then also the relationship with the children as well. So we know we see how much he loves her. We see what a great light she is in the family. And then, unfortunately, she does get sick and pass away. And then we see, I don't disappear quite yet, we see her come back as kind of a spirit in the household. Not really a ghost, but maybe a memory or the spirit that permeates the household beyond her death.
Okay, you've made this suddenly very depressing now.
It's real life. It's an amazing story. There's definitely a lot of comic elements to it also. We have a lot of comedic servants.
Okay, so people are going to show up to this, and the only familiarity that they're going to have is the poem itself. So what kind of expectations do you hope to fulfill for audience members who know just the poem? I mean, they may not even know this guy's name. I mean, the last name Moore, probably nothing at all. So they're going to expect a lot to do with the poem. What are you going to do anything with that?
Well, we tease the poem throughout the play. Matter of fact, the musical begins on the night he wrote the piece, and you get the explanation as to why and how he wrote the play. And this is based on, you know, his discussion of how he wrote it one night on a sleigh on Christmas Eve, taking turkeys to the church. He wrote it on a sleigh ride, literally. So that is all explained. And then when he comes back to the family gathering, he actually begins to tell the poem, but then we fade out. Later, we do it again. And then at the end of the show, we do the entire poem set to music, performed by Mr. DePonte, Sarah as, again, Catherine, and of course, Clement C. Moore.
So, and you will see Santa Claus.
Yeah, you do see Santa at the very, very end. That's another thing I think is really very important. We, I think today, do not understand that our vision of Santa Claus comes directly from Clement C. Moore. He synthesized many different traditions and created the American Santa Claus. Visually, it wasn't created until Thomas Nast, the famous cartoonist, illustrated the poem later in the 1800s. But before this, we did not have a clear vision of Santa Claus. We didn't have reindeer. We didn't have him even coming down the chimney. Moore set all that out. As I say sometimes, without him having named the 8 reindeer, we wouldn't have Rudolph trying to play their reindeer games. So he defined Christmas and Santa Claus in America.
Okay, so you described the story of Clement Clark Moore, how he came up with the idea, how he actually wrote the poem, and then it got published. How does all this get turned into a musical? I mean, how do you work in song and or dance?
Well, it's called The Nights Before Christmas for a reason. What I did in writing it was condense time, and everything occurs on a series of 5 different Christmas Eves throughout his life. So the first two are the first two Christmases, 1822 when he wrote it, 1823 when it's first published. Later becomes 1830, where Catherine passes away. Later becomes 1843, where his name first became publicly attached with the poem. And in 1844 is when he actually claims it. So those kind of push you through, and you see the progression of his life. You see him, as Catherine says, as kind of a brilliant yet somewhat absent-minded fellow. You see the joy in the household. They sing songs about the fact that when he's out in the snow on the sleigh writing the poem, they sing a song called Riding Home Lost in the Snow, where everybody in the whole room sings about their knowledge of what an absent-minded fellow he is. At the same time, they all act like they're on a sleigh ride. So they arrange the furniture and they sing a song about being out in the snow on a sleigh. That's very merry and very joyous and very fun.
Okay, now I'm curious about something. This play is going to cover a span of some 20 years. And okay, this is kind of a technical question, because you've got kids in it. Now, Sarah, you play Moore's wife, and you conveniently die, so it doesn't
that's
matter.
That's true. That's
so it's very convenient in that respect that you die, and your character dies, and you come back. You don't have to age, but you've got kids, and you're talking a span of 20 years. How do you cover that? You got a kid who's 5.
Yeah. There's an easy answer to that.
And this is, again, which is
don't get too depressed. They die, too.
Oh, well.
Yes.
But you don't see it. There's no big death scene or anything like that.
Yeah, this is quite true, though. The children we feature in the play, he had a number of children, like then where you had a big family because you would lose so many of them. The 3 youngsters that we feature are the children of his that died young. So you're right. After time, you don't see them because we talk about how he has lost them. He is very, very devoted to his children, and so that was a large loss.
Okay,
so you can see it's really a fully fledged, kind of very dramatic musical. It's also very merry and very Christmassy.
Okay, let's talk about some of the other people. We've got Sarah. Who else is in the production?
Well, a fellow named Matt Dentino, who has done a number of our shows. He was Bert last year in our Mary Poppins, and he played the lead in Will Rogers' Folly. So he's a song and dance and actor, a fellow with major chops, and he's glorious in the role. He really is. So he plays Clement C. Moore, a longtime favorite of our audience. Bob Brunner plays Lorenzo DePonte, the famous librettist for Mozart, in a very large and happy, funny way. We have the oldest daughter, who was with Moore pretty much all her life. As a matter of fact, he went to live with her when he eventually passed away. She starts out at an age where she's 19. So yes, over 20 years, she may age, but she's already a grown-up girl at age 19, so that aging process isn't so, is very easily done. And her name is Kaylee Kyman, another really great performer of ours.
Beautiful
she's
voice.
Done Bonnie in Anything Goes, and she did Ula in The Producers last summer, so she's a knockout performer.
So is this going to be a yearly thing? Is this what you got planned?
We tend to do Christmas shows on, I wouldn't call it a schedule, but we'll put time between them now. I wrote many years ago our own Christmas musical version of A Christmas Carol. We've had 15 years at the Covedale where we've done that show. We've done White Christmas. We've done Miracle on 34th Street. We've done It's a Wonderful Life. So we tend to rotate big, fun Christmas shows and musicals throughout our different years.
We're talking about The Nights Before Christmas is at the Covedale Center for the Performing Arts on Glenway Avenue. Starting December 1st, it runs through the 23rd, and that's just two nights before Christmas. How about that? It all works out. We've been speaking with playwright and director Tim Perino and one of the actors, Sarah Viola. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you for having us.
And for Around Cincinnati, I'm Frank Johnson.
Twas the night before Christmas when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snuggled in beds while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. Then Mama in a kerchief and I in my cap had just settled down for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. When what to my wondering I should appear but a miniature sleigh and eight tiny reindeer with a little old driver so lively and quick. I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles, his horses they came, and he whistled and he shouted and he called them by name. Now dash, now dance, now prance, around fix. I'm jumping on you, but I'm thunder and blitzing. The top of the fort to the top of the wall. Now dash away, dash away, dash away off. So up to the housetop the horses they flew with a sleigh full of toys and St. Nicholas too. And then in a twinkling I heard on the roof the prance again, pawing up each little hoof. As the dew in my head was turning it around, down the chimney St. Nick came with a bound. He dressed all in fur from his head to his foot. Clothes were all covered with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes held a twinkle, his dimples how merry. His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard on his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and a smoke in his circle, his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He's chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings and turned with a jerk. Crazy, and laying his finger aside of his nose and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to a sleigh, to his team gave a whistle. Away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim ere he drove out of sight,
"Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night."